all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly?
Aloha! I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection, a place of shared unity and equal common ground for all peoples and cultures, a unity not built on separation and blindness, but a solid foundation built on respect for all walks of life, molded by the thirst of the people for change. In unity, bridging the gap, for we are the voice of we the people. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free 888-389-3452 and 877-489-6350. Hello, everyone. It is good to have you all with us today. I have just been informed that our call-in numbers will be reflected on the day call-in numbers for Station 1, so I know my admins are probably shifting around getting those call-in numbers as I speak. So it is truly a pleasure to be with each and every one of you. Before we get started on today's show, many of you may sit and wonder, is this out of your norm for our show? And yes, it is. And I have to tell you all, I have explored many of these types of books that we will be talking about today. But I will say this, you will always come across that one book that really reaches out and you know within the core of your own soul that you have found something that really not only empowers you, but that you can utilize and take that information to really make serious changes within your own personal lives. It's a book that you can share with family, friends, and even co-workers, or even just your next-door neighbor. And I am personally am so grateful for to have this opportunity to speak to this young lady that we have on the show today. She comes live to us all from all the way from Australia. So let me share a bit of information about our guest for this evening. Oops, excuse me. Let me back up here for a moment because I personally want to invite each of you to my show page with bbsradio.com. Many of you are indeed aware that I have a wealth of information about our guest on this show. I'd also like to invite you, the ones in Pal Talk, for your convenience. We will be continuously posting the website, our guest name, and the title of wonderful book that we will be sharing with all of you today. So with that said, our guest for today's show is Annette Sim. She is a best-selling author, low-fat cooking expert, award-winning businesswoman, and media identity. With no education or previous business experience, she has turned the triumph over her own weight loss and health struggles into a multi-million dollar business in just 10 years, and to date has sold in excess of over 2 million cookbooks, all self-published. Annette is the acclaimed author of 4 best-selling healthy, low-fat cookbooks that have been endorsed by the Diabetes Australia. The series of family favorite recipe books has sold, as I had said earlier, over 2 million copies. Annette has become a national media identity with regular TV appearances, regularly seen on the morning show with Carrie Ann and also Current Affair. The website is simply, which is spelt S as in Sam, Y, M as in Mary, P, L, Y, 2, T, O, O, good.com. And let me repeat that once again, simply toogood.com. So without further delay, let's give our guest today a warm welcome to the Universal Spiritual Connection. Aloha, Annette.
G'day, how are you?
I am great, and what a true honor. I find you an amazing young lady, and what's even more profound is this cookbook that you are sharing with the world. And as you know, us females have looked at many, many cookbooks. I know I have. And I have to say, I have actually tested some of your recipes, and you have got, you are sitting on something really big here.
Oh, well, thank you. You're very kind.
Well, it's so interesting because I had to firsthand test it, you know, because I've come across a lot of cookbooks, you know, a lot of them claim to do this and do that. And what I really liked about this cookbook is that it's very simple. It's very well designed. You have done extensive research. That's very obvious as you explore the cookbook. And what's even more exciting is the recipes are very good.
Isn't it wonderful, though, when you finally get recipes that, one, take very little time to do because we are so time poor in our society these days, and yet we know with the economy the way it is right now and with the health and well-being at its probably worst, you know, we've got to get back in the kitchen and really start thinking about healthy cooking. And so when you go in there and you realize, oh, my gosh, why haven't I been doing this? It's so easy and so simple and cost-effective. It gets kind of exciting when you actually then start eating it and realize, damn, this is good.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that was one of the strong messages that I was hoping to convey to all the listeners today is because, you know, I've explored many cookbooks and, you know, I'm from the old school, so to speak, where I learned how to cook by scratch, so to speak. And, you know, I love the appreciation of being able to go into the kitchen and really make healthy foods for myself. But as you know, somewhere, as years passed by, we lost the importance of the translation of healthy eating that, you know, is healthy and good for our bodies. And you've really captured that within your cookbooks.
Well, it was probably as a great desire for myself personally because I love to eat. I mean, you know, do you love food?
Oh, yes. But that's another
show. And I think show. A lot of us, yeah, and a lot of us will be going, oh, yeah, you know. But there's so much guilt associated with food. And, you know, it can be soul-destroying, especially when you're overweight. And I mean, if you look at the picture on the back of my cookbook, you're going to see there was a lot of me to love. And I was hitting the scales at 220 pounds and really, it was getting fatter every day, and it just wasn't working for me at all. I was very unhappy being that big. I mean, who would want to be so large? But at the same time, I knew that my body wasn't loving it either. I was getting unwell, had bad sciatic problems, and I'd been a chronic dieter, though, because when I look back over my life, you know, I was a chubby child, you know, I was a chubby teenager, and my nickname at high school was Porky. So there's history there, you know what I mean? Like I sort of felt like it was time that the obese, unhealthy Annette needed to go.
Yeah, and I apologize that, you know, you had that nickname and stuff, but, you know, and we see it all over. You know, it's a worldwide situation. So, you know, let me ask you this, is what do you feel that was the cause and the effects of being so overweight, and how did you go about with with realizing that it was important for you to have a healthy relationship with food?
Well, I think I was one of those kids that had parents that divorced when I was two. So I was sort of a bit of a latchkey. Do you use that terminology in America? Where
yes.
I had my own key at a very young age to get in because no one was home. And so, of course, you know, what was waiting for me when I got back from school to an empty house was the fridge and the pantry, and there was lots of goodies there to love me. So I would just tuck into all the different snacks and whatever, and no one really was there to sort of control or discipline my choices. But I think as well, I just never really often felt that I fitted in, you know, like, it's funny how when you look back as a kid, you know, you think you're okay, but when, as an adult, you look back and you go, yeah, no, you were hurting as a kid, you know? And so I think that was part of it. I had some emotional issues that, you know, I had to deal with. My stepfather was abusive to my mother, and I decided to leave that house and went and live with my dad, and then found that his wife was an alcoholic. So, you know, I had to sort of be a little bit of a survivor, and I think that sometimes when you're coping in certain ways, you latch on to other things. And so food was a bit of a comfort for me when I was a kid. And of course, then I just decided, well, food was pretty good. I loved it, and I just kept eating. And it was really actually when I got a photo sent to me that would change my life, when I saw that picture of the swimsuit. But the effect of it all was that, you know, I had a bit of low self-esteem. I was always a bit of a happy-go-lucky gal, you know what I mean? Because you've got to try and make yourself stand out some way. But inside, of course, I just was really not feeling it. You know, you just want to be like everybody else and just be able to wear the clothes that your friends are wearing and to feel good about yourself. I mean, everyone should have that. Everyone should have that love for themselves.
Absolutely, and that's an important key. So, you know, obviously you had to really work on getting to the core issue of your self-esteem and working at that level as well, along with having a balanced relationship with food. And so what were some of the tools that you may have utilized to really get to those core issues of, you know, the emotional state and being able to integrate that with your food intake?
Well, I think what happened was when I decided, after I saw that photo of myself at 220 pounds, went, honey, you are the diet queen. You know, I was always looking for a quick fix. I was looking for, you know, the next diet if I wasn't already on one. I was always blaming everybody else but myself, you know what I mean? Like, I blamed
yes.
having three big babies, for example, you know, that my husband worked nights, so I was on my own in the night. So, once again, I had no one there to discipline me of what I was eating. Because, you know, often, you know, when you're on your own, you can just eat whatever you want. But when someone's around, you might be a little bit more hesitant to eat a packet of chocolate chip cookies, for example. And I really felt at one point there that it was the dieting that was causing me to be overweight in the end. And I always said to people, you know, the first three letters of the word diet are die. And I said, you know what, I'm not going to diet anymore because it's masochistic. I mean, I can't think of one good thing to say about it. Could you?
No, I can't.
Have you ever been on one?
Oh, so many times I lost count, and I finally came
exactly.
to that my own conclusion. It wasn't about going on a diet. It was about having a healthy relationship with my food, along with, you know, keeping in balance, you know, exercising and working on myself personally, you know, with my own self-esteem and how I perceived.
That's right.
You know, because I found that I was an emotional eater. Or if I, you know, part of that too was, you know, if I got slightly stressed, I had noticed that I would have a tendency to want to eat something. And so, you know, that helped by identifying those behavior patterns without, you know, bringing that awareness to that level.
Mm.
Which I'm
absolutely.
Sure it was probably
and I agree,
that.
Yes.
Yes.
Emotional eating is one of the biggest problems with people, and definitely I was an emotional eater, and that's what I sat down that day when I saw this picture of me in the swimsuit, and I went, you know what, you've got to change things because you're not loving yourself, Annette. You know, you're not doing, you're not taking responsibility for yourself, you're blaming everybody else, but at the end of the day, who is it that puts the food in your mouth? So I just went, you know, come on, you know, I had this big power talk to myself, and I realized that I just wanted to be a healthy person. I wasn't going to be a dieter anymore, and I looked at what made a healthy person, and I said, well, if I act like that, a healthy person, if I think like a healthy person, then I'll become one. And I just didn't see how I could weigh 220 pounds if I was doing all that. But when you talk about emotional eating, you know, you can have all the practical information, you can have all the determination and the knowledge and whatever, but if, when you get that emotional thing kick in, you know, everything goes out the window. So what I did to try and deal with that was, you know, I really, you know, talked to myself with a lot of love and say, come on, Annette, you know, like, eating this, you know, chocolate cake might make you feel good right now, but you know in 5 minutes you're going to feel really bad. So I started really saying to, you know, talking to myself, but I was listening. That was the difference. I realized that food was not going to control me anymore, and also that food doesn't fix things. You know,
that's right.
Ask anyone that's an emotional eater and they'll go, well, it's a love-hate relationship, isn't it? Because you love the food, but then when you eat it, you hate it, and you hate yourself. So it's a crazy way to think about it.
That's right. Well, you know, and you know, through my own observation, interacting with so many people worldwide, you know, that seemed to be a common denominator with anyone that I seem to speak with. And to be fair to us as individuals, you know, we also have gotten a lot of help with that as well because of our, you know, ways of living where we're on a fast pace all the time. We've lost a sense of having family meals together. You know, all those contribute. But what I've also noticed as well is what they've done to our foods that we buy to place in our trust that we are being, you know, we're buying good, healthy food to feed our families.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. When I walk down the supermarket, I'm horrified at what they've got available now because everything's full of sugar, full of salt, so much saturated fats in food now, of poor quality fats, and, you know, I worry about the kids, you know what I mean? Because
yes,
there's just so many choices that they can have now that are easy. And everyone's looking for easy, aren't they? They want the quick. They don't want to be working at it hard. And I agree, you know, just sitting down having a meal together, we've got to get back to the basics a bit more. And you know what? It's not just about the food. It's about family connection. We need more of that. And as parents, I think if I can work with parents and show them, you know, through my cookbook, and that how they can do it easy and economically, that they will then hopefully provide these meals for their children, and then we can slowly change this cycle a little bit. And I'm quite excited about being in America because I just think you guys are fabulous, and if we can all just be that little bit better, we're just going to power through the next few years.
Yes, and if you ever come to Arizona, please look me up because I would love to personally meet with you. And I don't say this lightly, Annette, okay, because for the message that I really want to convey to all my listeners today is that you've really captured a wonderful balance and within this cookbook, and you are reminding all of us the importance of eating healthy in a very balanced way, but yet you've done such a beautiful job in saying, yes, I understand that you have busy schedules, but I've simplified my recipes to where you don't have to spend a lot of time in the kitchen to make quality food to be able to share with yourself and you know, your family. And this is a book that I would highly recommend on a very personal level to my own family and to friends around me, which I've already done, by the way.
Oh, you're just so gorgeous.
No, it's
you know,
the truth.
This book
is
this book. Yeah, this book can change someone's life because And I don't say that lightly either, just by bragging about my book. I'm just sincerely saying that you get, when I see someone with my book, you know, when they're walking out of the bookstore, I go, that person has now got the tools to change their life. If they have diabetes, all the recipes are suitable for people with diabetes. And when you see the little yellow box, there's a little post-it note on each recipe. That's
yes.
a tip that was written by the head dietitian from Diabetes Australia. So they're getting little bonus information as well. But I just think what a blessing to have these recipes where they can live a normal life, because so many diabetics think that, oh, well, I can't eat this and I can't eat that. But these are recipes that everybody will want to eat. You know, I mean, not just people with diabetes or who have cholesterol problems. I mean, heart disease is the biggest killer in both Australia and America. And that's
yes.
because of the high saturated fat diet and also the high amount of sodium or salt that we consume. And often we don't even know we're having it because it's in so much food, as you said. You know, gosh, the products out there now, you never know what's in them. And I just bring it back and make it sort of, you know, I've worked out ways to make things taste fabulous by using spices and herbs and by little tricks that I've created that I just think are so damn great, you know, because when you can
yeah.
have guilt-free baked cheesecake and burgers and fries, I mean, they're the three main food groups, really, aren't they? I mean, who cannot just stay at this forever? And that's my message. Not only did I lose over 70 pounds in 20 months, but I've been in my healthy weight range now for 17 years, and that's what I want everyone else to know, to say goodbye to those excess pounds forever.
Absolutely, and that's where I got real excited as well, because, you know, as I researched you and realized that, you know, you spent a part of your life at 220 pounds, you had a major wake-up call realizing that, you know, you had the right to live a good, healthy, well-balanced life. And then you took that, empowered yourself, and then shared this knowledge with everyone that came across your path and lost 70 pounds. And the real key is that you've kept it off for 17 years.
Mm.
Good for you.
I know, and I want that for others. I want that. I want everyone to not feel, I want them to just feel happy and loved within. And I think that that comes from nurturing yourself in a really loving way, because when you step up and say, okay, I'm going to eat healthy food now, but I'm not talking just grilled fish and salad here. I'm talking all the food that we normally like to eat, but making it the healthy way, because it can really transform your life when you know that you can have apple pie and you can have creamy soups and things like that. But when you're eating it, you're going to go, but I know this is good for me. And so suddenly all the guilt that you've carried for years about anything that you eat that you think's bad goes, because everything you're going to eat is good. But I also just love it because, you know, in the front of the book, there's a 28-day weight loss plan. And so for anyone that says, oh, look, I really do want to lose the weight, but I'm confused, I don't know what to do, and I'm going, yeah, because you are. There's too many silly messages out there on how to lose weight, when in reality, it's about just eating in moderation, making good food choices, being active, and really believing that you want to do this, you know, like and enjoying the journey. They're the keys to weight loss success.
So let me ask you this, and before I do ask you this question, Annette, I'd like to welcome all those that have joined us for today's show. Our guest is Annette Sim. Her website is simplytoogood.com, and simply is spelled S-Y-M-P-L-Y. We'd like to personally invite you to BBS Radio, to my show page, and for those in Pal Talk, we are posting that information for your convenience. We do have a comment from one of the listeners, and she says that she has lost 125 pounds in a year. Congratulations.
Woo!
To you. I know. Isn't that exciting?
Oh, my God, you're fabulous thing.
Absolutely. So we want to congratulate you as well for taking your personal power back and saying yes to you. Good for you. She's also shared where she is. She eats frozen yogurt instead of ice cream. So she is really tuned in and making healthy choices for herself. But with that said, Annette, I would like to ask you this, you know, in struggling for loss of weight, what are the one or two mistakes that you actually see people making over and over when they start on this journey?
Well, the one big mistake people make, and I mean, I can say this because, I mean, I've walked the talk, and that is that we think we have to starve ourselves to lose weight. You know, you think, oh, gosh, the less I eat, the more I'm going to lose. So for these few very unpleasant days, you will become very cranky, you'll feel lethargic, all you'll think about is food, you'll get bad breath, and you'll just be someone that no one's going to want to be around. And, you know, you wonder why after a few days you go, I can't do this, I'm just too hungry. And then you start thinking, well, maybe I'm just such a pig, I eat too much and whatever. But what it is no one can live off just an apple and a yogurt for the day, you know what I mean?
And that's right.
One of the things that I want to teach people is that it is about having the right food groups. You know, like, I mean, this crazy diets out there where they say you got to feel guilty over eating a spoonful of rice or a slice of bread. I mean, that's ridiculous, because how long can you keep it off if you're eating in that sort of regime? Because I've never met anyone that can stay on these very strict diets for very long. And then what happens is when I tried it many years ago, I remember within a matter of days, I put back the weight on that I lost and more, because I've just gone too damn crazy because I was so deprived. It's really about balance, you know, and knowing that if you eat the right, you know, just the right amount of food of all the food groups, you know, it will help you succeed in your weight loss so much better than starving yourself. So that's probably the biggest mistake people make, and why I've included that 28-day weight loss plan in my cookbook, because people follow this in Australia. Look, I've sold 2.5 million cookbooks in Australia. I mean, I'm the number one here, and I have thousands and thousands of people that have said, oh, my God, my life has changed because I finally get it, and they lose their weight and keep it off. And that's what I wish for anyone that struggles with their weight. So that's probably the main thing that I see people do.
Absolutely. I'd like to take this moment, if we may, Annette, and invite our caller on line one to the show. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, my name is Dory. I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Aloha.
Aloha. I'm the one that announced in one of your listeners on Pal Talk that I lost 125 pounds in 1 year. And I just wanted to confirm what Annette says. I mean, there's so many recipes in that people can do. And congratulations to you as well, Annette, on your weight loss.
Oh, you're amazing. Well done.
Absolutely. And you know, it's just a making up your mind of what satisfies you the most. I mean, we all have been preconditioned to, as parents, and so forth. This may sound familiar, as finish your plate. You know, there's kids over there starving to death. And nobody knew at that time that a portion control took the size of a 12 by 14 or 14 inch diameter plate, correct? Really?
Oh, you're so right.
I mean, our mother was like,
finish that up.
Don't finish that up. You're going to be punished. People are starving in the world. Somebody will come all the way and lick your plate, you know? Like, okay. And for years I battled, I'm sorry for the dog, for years I battled with a weight gain off and on. Even in the military, I had to have a waiver because I thought I was big boned. Let me tell you, ladies,
yes.
There is no such thing as being big boned. You're either boned or no boned. But
I'm being told that I had puppy fat.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Puppy fat.
And I remember at 15, I went, well, why hasn't the baby fat gone? Because I'm not a baby anymore. Come on.
I know. Like when you hear this, you're pregnant. You're eating for two. So you keep baby fat may lose as your children grow up, and you keep that added on to the one you already were born with.
Yeah,
but it's just basically what I'm saying. I agree with you on the on eat anything you want. I mean, like some things I have replaced with like frozen yogurt with ice cream, but that was my choice. But my husband is a diabetic, and my husband Daryl has been a diabetic now for 2 years. It was quite an adjustment. Since we gave up the soda pop as it is, and as well as the chips, you know, we didn't give it up. We just like buy it in moderation. Moderation is like once in a blue moon grab a small bag of chips and we consume it together, you know? We go out to eat a lot, but we still are conscious about, as soon as we feel the sensation of being full, we push our plate away. No longer do we obtain the guilt of leaving things on our plate. Or we take, involve ourselves in a buffet. We take ourselves and just take a little bit at a time until we become satisfyingly full. But a lot of us, the most mistake, like you, I think you had said this, the mistake was not knowing when to stop, especially things that you like, correct?
Yes, but I can remember when we'd buy pizza, I would eat till the box was done. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I remember thinking, and then I'd go around and eat all the crusts from the girls, my children. You know, there's never anything left in a box when it went out to the bin, I can tell you, and the trash can. And what the difference was that when I decided to become the healthy person was not only did I make my own pizza because I wanted to put all healthy stuff on it and fill it up with lots of things, but I was able to just sort of say, okay, well, when I'm full, I'm done. The pizza does not have to just be eaten because of weight. You know, you don't want to waste things. And that's when I really think about what is happening to your waistline when you eat too much. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, right now,
I give you a quick tip about the buffet? Because really, that can be masochistic to go to a buffet, because
there's
so much food.
I'm guilty as charged. I used to go to the buffet and fill my plate 6 or 7 times. And thinking drinking water was going to help me push that stuff through, right? No, it ain't going to work. But I find myself sabotaging. For years, I was convinced I'm big, I'm beautiful, and that's where it's going to be. But deep
now,
inside,
I'm a buffet eater, ladies. Okay.
Well, can I tell you a quick? I'll tell you a quick tip. What you do when you go to a buffet, if you really are trying to be, fabulous, and you don't want to overeat, or maybe you're on a weight loss program, sort of thing, and you're saying, no, I'm not going to eat a lot. What you do is you always sit with your back to the buffet.
Absolutely.
Please don't be sitting
looking
at it. I mean, that's crazy.
I've done that. I've walked backwards, like literally half. Okay, give me a couple of
little.
Yeah. But I actually try to get away from the buffet, but I can't help myself. I'm just so good.
Well, I always used to get someone else to get the food for me as well. And that way I wasn't in control.
But I also want to look up your cookbook. And again, it's nice to meet a sister that has accomplished the same thing as I have. And again, just to those listeners and viewers or whoever else is out there, I mean, not only your cookbook is wonderful, from what I'm hearing, I would definitely use it. And just remember the portion size as well, if you haven't got that in your cookbook, which I'm sure you do, just all the suggested serving size. You'd be surprised how many times a day you can eat and you do get full.
Absolutely.
I think portion control is such a big issue with everybody these days. We've lost the concept of what is normal.
Right.
And this is what I want to bring back to people, because I've got a whole thing in there about portion distortion, I call it, and it's about what is the perfect dinner plate. How much should we really be having? Because we're all too confused. So I'm going to give you that information so you can then be empowered and say, okay,
right,
I know now what I'm meant to do, and so you can go forward with this. I mean, ignorance is not bliss. It's
That's
time
correct.
To step up,
That's
people.
Correct.
We've got to change things.
Right. You are aware of what you eat. And you know what? I just don't even use my dinner plates. I don't even have them anymore. I use my breakfast plates or my dinner roll plate. You know, the small ones. That's it. And you're right. Well, I'll quit hogging up the mic in case there's other callers coming in. I would love to stay on all day. You've got a couple hours.
But you're fabulous. And look, thank you. You're so lovely. And thank you for calling in because
really
is lovely to hear about your success. Well done.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And thank you. And thank anybody else out there as well. Food does not have to be your enemy. You already know this. Just befriend it, and it can be good to you. Just like you're good to it. And it tastes good, and like it's been eaten. Well, you can't taste good to it. You know what I mean. All right, then, ladies, and have a good afternoon or evening or wherever you're at. And, again, congratulations on your broken neck. And
thank you, and stay healthy.
I will. Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dory, for calling in. And God bless you. And that was Dory for Pennsylvania. And for those that have, we have got so many comments coming in from the listeners, and I want to truly thank each and every one of you for your comments, and I will share some of those comments with Annette today. But I'd also like to personally invite you to my show page with bbsradio.com. As you all know, I have a wealth of information about our guest, and we are talking to Annette Sim, and her website is simplytoogood.com, and that is spelled S-Y-M-P-L-Y. And I have to tell you guys, I have this book in my possession, and Annette has really, it's very obvious, her passion for having a healthy, balanced relationship with food. She has, it's obvious she has done major research and compiling the knowledge to share with each of us. And she's even gone as far as really making sure that she tuned in to our everyday busy schedules, as many of us are experiencing in our personal lives. But on that note, I'd also like to share some of the comments that are coming in. I want to thank you all for all your wonderful comments, and some of them are quite cute. And Knightley says, I taught myself not to eat the right food away so that I got food in the house. Also, eating when nervous is bad as well. And as you know, Knightley, that has to do with a lot of emotional. So I'd like to invite you to really take a look at that, because you deserve to live a very healthy and balanced life. It's really cute. Short has made a comment about women don't have fat. They are just fluffy. I had to read that on air.
That's so cute. And I always think that if we were a lot taller than we were, we'd be fine, wouldn't we, you know?
Absolutely. And Alpha Angel brings up a very good point also, and she says, and what about more than half the world drinking sugar? And that's another area that we need to really take a look at, is what we're drinking as well. What are your thoughts on that, Annette?
That's a fabulous comment, because it really is a big issue that we're sucking down so much sugar. And you think of a 2-liter bottle of soft drink or Cop, it has about 45 teaspoons of sugar in it. Now, I do a lot of presentations and seminars and that, and I get there with my spoon and bowl, and I actually get with the sugar and get everyone in the audience to count the teaspoons of sugar as I'm doing it. And by the time you get over 40, everyone is horrified. And when you think about what else we're having, like a lot of these power drinks, energy drinks are designed for athletes, and yet we have kids sitting at computers that haven't really moved further than going to the kitchen, and they're drinking these high sugared and often high salt drinks. Also, we're drinking too much juice. You know, fruit is better eaten than drinking it, because when you drink it, you lose the fiber. And so that you think about how many oranges does it take to squeeze a glass of orange juice? And then three or four at least. And I really don't know of anyone that could sit down and eat three or four oranges in one go. And that's because they've got the fiber in them. So I don't really encourage people to drink a lot of juice, because I think it's a lot of calories. I would much rather you eat the fruit than drink it. So maybe that's my thoughts anyway.
Absolutely. I just wanted to make a notation. We've got so many wonderful comments coming in, and I do want to show you my gratitude for all the comments. If I have missed any of your comments, please forgive us. But it's nice to be able to bring up those points up on the show. So with that said, Annette, let me ask you this. For those that are really wanting to step forward and make some real changes in the way they perceive their relationship with food, how do we go about getting started and educating ourselves of what's healthy for the body?
Well, I think that, you know, you've got to look at the amount of processed food we're eating and things that come out of boxes. You know, there's some things that, you know, are great that come out of boxes, but I think at the end of the time, we really do know. Deep down, we know what we should be doing. And I think we've just used too many excuses, too many reasons of, oh, well, this is the way we do it here, or this is, it's easier, I don't have time. We've all got the excuses and the reasoning behind it, but when you start thinking, okay, I'm a healthy person, so if we could all just say that now to ourselves, I am a healthy person. So let's all just say it, ready? I am a healthy person.
Woohoo! I love it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I just go goofy when I say it. And think about if you are a healthy person, which you are now because you've said it, so that's all good. It's all about, you know, intention, isn't it? You know, you then make decisions that a healthy person will do. So if you're out with some friends and you're sitting there and they're ordering lunch and there's like a vegetable soup or there's a really creamy chowder and you know it's full of cream and there's a vegetable soup, which one would a healthy person order?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
common sense.
Yes.
This is about loving yourself. This is about empowering you to be the best you can be. And if you eat food that empowers you instead of disempowers you, you will make the right choices. And trust that you do know it. I don't have to tell you a lot to do. I just need to get into your subconscious to say, I need to make those right decisions from this moment forward. And you know what? Sometimes you do, you know, you're not perfect. Please, no one is. And same as your eating regime will not always be perfect. But if I have a bad day, I pick it myself up and the next day I'm even better. And it's about just really just honoring your journey and why you're here on earth is to be energized and be fabulous and enjoy being here, not drag yourself around and just wonder what on earth, you know, you're here for. You are here to be fabulous and enjoy life because, you know what, our body, you know, we only get one of them. I mean, you can change your car tomorrow if you want it, but it doesn't work real well for you. But we have got to look after our body because it's with us all the way. And so the more that you do now, the later in life you're going to reap those rewards. What do you think about that?
I love it. I really, really do. You know, I spent most of my life as a size 6 petite. And then all of a sudden one morning I woke up and, you know, I had put some major weight on. Obviously, it was all emotional based on it. So it was really refreshing for me is when I had to re-educate myself on my relationship with food. And, you know, that got me on a journey where, you know, I realized that there were a lot of additives being added to food. A lot of the food intake that we were putting into our bodies weren't live food, where the body literally recognizes it. And then, of course, it had a lot to do with my own schedule. So I was saying no to myself. I wasn't loving myself as an individual. And I soon realized that once I couldn't put a lot of my clothes on, and I'm going, oh my gosh, I've got to do something about this.
And I think as well, you've got to understand straight up that food is not going to make you feel better. You know, so many times we eat for comfort, as we've said on the show just a minute ago, but when you're eating it, it might feel like it's helping you. But, you know, the guilt afterwards of knowing that you've not only, probably it hasn't changed that you're having a fight with your spouse, for example. They're still there and they're still cranky with you or you're cranky with them. But now you're going to even have that lower self-esteem because you go, why did I eat all that cake? And why did I eat that big bag of, you know, French fries and, you know, that sort of stuff. You really, once you actually start honoring yourself and really looking at what it is that you need to do and step up to it, you really, it just, there's so many changes, but for me, the key to it was I still wanted to have good food. I didn't want to live off carrot sticks. I wanted to be able to have, you know, chocolate cake, and I wanted to have lasagna. I wanted to have French fries. So what I did was worked out how to have them, but without all the fat and the salt and the sugar, but still would be eating it thinking, this is damn good. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You can do anything when you can eat lasagna. That's all I can say. I mean, you
That's
know,
right.
Life is good. when you can have chocolate cake. But it's all about having it in moderation. And I would make, like the first year that I was losing weight, I had a piece of cake or a scone or a cookie or something every day because I have got quite a sweet tooth. And I would make a day of baking and I would cook my carrot cake, I'd do my pear and cranberry loaf, I'd make my chocolate cake, whatever. And I'd cut them into slices that, you know, say it says it serves, makes 12 slices. So I'd cut them into 12 slices, cling wrap them, put them into a container in the freezer, and then I would each day go and go, now what do I have today? And I'd take it out, let it defrost, and during the day, I had the fun of choosing when was I going to have that piece of cake. Now, it was low in fat, it was healthiest I could make that chocolate cake to be, so I would sit there with my cup of coffee and I would smack my chops and have fun with it. And that's what it's about. It's about still loving food in a good way.
Yes, I'm laughing because I am reflecting back on some past behaviors on, you know, that I had incorporated in my own life. But before we have to say goodbye to you, Annette, is I really want to touch on these two questions, if I may. And the first question is why do people have so much trouble losing the weight and then keeping it off? Because I know that that's been a major dilemma for me personally.
Good question, because, you know, we're not doing what we need to do long term. And exactly what I talked about, I realized that I needed to have cake. You know what I mean? And so if I was eating, going on a diet to try and lose weight but didn't give me cake, then I would come crashing down and burn. So what it is work out what is it that you personally need to have in your life so that you can continue this for the rest of your life. Like when I lost my weight, I continued doing exactly what I've been doing while I was losing my weight. I just ate more to help maintain my weight instead of losing it. And that's how I've been able to keep it off for 17 years. I was looking at being a healthy person, and I just did all those things. I worked out what I needed to do, and that's how you can lose it and keep it off forever, by working out what you need to have in your life and working out how to do it healthily. That will be the way you can keep it off. And really don't look for these crazy diets, you know, the crash diets. I mean, that's why they're called that, because they come crashing down. Because when you're on these, you know, really restricted programs that don't give you the food that you love, then you are definitely not going to be able to do it for very long, are you? I mean, we've all proved that.
That's
because
right.
We know. We've been and tried it, haven't we?
That's right. So my next question, if we may, is, you know, what would you say to those people who just don't like to cook, and how can you help them?
Well, you know, there are a lot of people that say they don't like to cook, but they haven't really cooked my way, have they? Because it is so easy. Can I tell you my technique for cooking?
Absolutely.
Chop it up. Yeah, it's just chop it up, chuck it in the pot and cook it. That's it. You don't need to have to, you don't even bother with an apron because you're not going to be in the kitchen long enough. And really, I am about the experience of the food, not the experience in the kitchen, honey. We've got better things to do than to be stuck in domestic bliss. I'm sorry, I don't get that at all. You know? And I
That's
want
right.
people to be able to say, it's so easy. Like a recipe, for example, in my book, it's called Indian Butter Chicken. Now, normally that would be about 45 grams of fat. Now, I call that heart attack on a plate. Okay? That is why we are overweight. We're eating this ridiculous food. Now, I love that recipe, though. So I converted it to 4.4 grams of fat. I'm not talking half the fat. I'm talking a tenth. And this is what I do, and how I do, and how to make that recipe is you chop up some onion. Now you can buy already onion frozen, chopped up, diced up some chicken. You can buy that done in your supermarket or your butcher now, and then all you have to do is throw in some spices, some tomato paste, some just a few other little, you know, some bouillon, some, and then you throw in some a can of 2% evaporated milk. And you just bring that to the boil. Your dinner's done. Now, you can't tell me that we all can't prepare that. There's nothing hard about that, is there?
That's
right.
But,
oh, my gosh, when you eat it, you're going to go, oh, my God, this is so good.
I know, Annette, because I took the time out to test some of your recipes firsthand, and I am so grateful to have this book, and I will be utilizing your cookbook so much more into my life. I want to personally thank you for the simplicity, but yet you've got a lot of passion. You've done a wealth of research and compiled it together to where we can simply apply it into our everyday life. I want to thank our listeners as well. Alpha Angel, I'd like to read your comments. One mind and attitude is everything. Stay away from processed foods. So incredibly true. It's been a real honor, Annette. You'll have to come back and bring us back up to speed on some of the great things that you are continuously sharing with the world. It's been truly an honor to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. And I just am so grateful to have this chance to share my story and my information with you and your listeners. And I just think Americans are the most wonderful people. You really are very positive. And I know that when we get this right, it's going to change things for a lot of people. And really, you know, when you we know you've got the ability to do it easily, you can do it long term. And that's the key here. Let's step up today. Remember that you are a healthy person and love who you are. Thank you so much for having me on today.
It's been a real honor and a pleasure. I want to thank all our listeners that have come in today to share a part of yourselves with Annette. Thank you for all your comments. I will leave Annette's information posted for 1 week for your convenience. I really highly recommend to explore her website, simplytogood.com. On that note, it's been an honor to be with all of you today. Remember to be kind to yourselves and to others as well. And you are the empowerment authority of you, your worlds, and activities. God bless each and every one of you. Have a good, great afternoon. Bye-bye to all.